This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good Thursday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. We are out and about on the road. We are just down Half Street, about four blocks from our studios, at Nationals Park in the left field concourse, sections 106 and 107, ahead of Nat's matinee business boy and girl special baseball today at 4:05 DC time, 2 hours from right now. We'll be here when you come inside the ballpark. So if you're coming to the game, please come say hello to your pals, Grant and Danny. We're giving away tickets to see the DC Defenders in their home opener on Sunday across South Capitol Street from where we're sitting right now, downtown here at Audi Field. Daniel, how are you?
What do you say, brother? It is gorgeous right here. We're amongst the, are these cherry blossoms or cherry trees? I don't know. But the floral, you know, sort of background to my left and my right is nice. The boys are taking batting practice right behind me.
I don't know much about
it's a hoot.
D.C. compared to you in terms of, like, roads and which way they go.
Uh-huh.
Which ones go in which direction. I know very well that these are cherry blossoms. This is the whole point of all the traffic. This is the thing that everyone over talks about.
Yep.
They're all over the outfield. They look beautiful. You can put them on a postcard. They're gorgeous. And batting practice was successful. I can tell you Lane Thomas hit a bunch of bombs.
Sure did.
They were flying right our way here in the red box.
Well, a nice little short hop to the shins a couple times, some 400 feet away from the home dish. But, yeah, that's a big weakness of mine. I'll fully cop to that. My wife is, I wouldn't say she's a horticulturist, realist. I wouldn't say she's an expert, but she's way further advanced than I am in terms of, like, that's a peony, that's a rose, that's a daffodil. I don't know any of them, and I can't learn them. Like, I'd like to, but I don't know what anything is.
Well, then this will be lost on you.
Go.
But my wife is huge into flowers.
Yeah.
Huge. To the point where she helped do the flowers for our wedding and has done flowers for other people's weddings. And I'll go one step further. She's doing flowers for the school fundraiser that we have coming up. Mm-hmm. Like, she's all in. She would be a florist if she could, probably.
Right.
She constantly has flowers at our house. A lot of them I give her. Sometimes
sure.
She just goes and gets them.
Yeah.
That's how I know I probably didn't give her enough. She just goes. It's a Wednesday. She wants flowers. She goes and gets them. I hate the smell of lilies. Do you know about lilies?
No.
It's lost on you.
Yeah.
I wanted some return. Oh, I agree with you. Kind of.
I'll agree with you right now.
Lilies rick me. We always have them in the kitchen, and the smell, I don't want to say turns my stomach, but it's close.
What's the odor? Can you describe it in some way?
No, I can't do that.
Is it like pungent? Are we in a swamp right now? What is it?
It just smells very plant-like.
It's strong.
And live and fresh. And just to me, it feels like if you walk into a florist and then you turn the smell up to 11. But it's basically your entire
kitchen.
It's
just too much is what you're saying.
It's
overwhelming.
But the other thing she does that I don't – it's not as annoying to me because there's no smell.
Okay.
She's big into watching birds. She knows all the types of birds in the backyard all the time. She'll text me when we get a, you know, blue jay or a
Oriole. That's a crescent, but something or other.
Right.
I'm like, how does anyone know anything?
There's a titmouse, I think, somewhere in there, something like that.
Totally.
But she's big into knowing the birds.
I find that fascinating because here's the thing that I always say, and nobody agrees with me on this, but I'm so correct. So I could just be crazy, I suppose. The picture, for example, if I looked up, this will be a bad example, but if I look up what a cardinal looks like, there'll be a picture of a cardinal in a book.
You'll see Albert Pujols.
Yeah, right? Like I'll see, you know, like Kyler Murray.
Yadier Molina will be right there next to
Adam Wainwright,
Cliff Kingsbury,
Ray Lankford. Is that right. But like I'll see like this is a terrible example because the Cardinals red, but you know what I mean. Like I don't know any other birds. A swallow, call it a swallow. Like, this is what a swallow looks like, and I'll see a bird that looks nothing like it. It looks nothing like the picture on the internet or the book, and there's a million different things.
And
that
people
are
will swear that that's what.
And
it
they
is.
Go, it's a swallow. It's like no, this is what a swallow looks like. No, it's seen because you can see it from the crest on the lower wing. And I'm like, no. It doesn't look like the picture.
It's also a sneaky thing where birds in real life don't actually look like what you're expecting them to look like.
This is a point.
So,
yes.
In other words, like, I think a Baltimore Oriole is very orange.
Like, you think it's Gunnar Henderson.
An Oriole is not Grayson Rodriguez.
Right.
An Oriole is more yellow in the wild. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of this? They're
no.
almost like black and yellow more
true?
So than orange. Yes.
So they're like Steelers more so than Ryan Mountcastles?
A little bit. It's more of a Roethlisberger in tone.
Wow.
The other one I'll give you is I think it's a Blue Jay. Because when you think Blue Jay, you think Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I think Bo Bichette.
Right, maybe Kevin Biggio.
Yep.
It's not actually that way, though. I mean, they're blue for sure. But they're not like that very royal, beautiful blue mm-hmm. that you know, would be worn by Cito Gaston. Mm-hmm. We're talking about kind of a darker blue. So it's just like sports have kind of ruined my eyesight on what these things are supposed to look like. Like I'm looking for the cartoon Oriole bird in my yard, and that's not really what an Oriole looks like.
Like if someone's like, there's a Blue Jay, I'm like, that doesn't look like Joe Carter winning the World Series. No.
It's
wrong.
Not the same.
Nope.
It's going to be a good day, though, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot going on in D.C. sports. You got the Nats matinee against the Pirates. Looking for a series win today.
Here we go.
Anybody got a series win?
Here we go.
Take out of their pocket. So that's good. That'd be nice.
I would like it.
Additionally, we got a big hockey game in Washington, D.C.
There's a hockey
tonight.
Match tonight.
One of those days that I like a whole lot, where if the Caps win, they almost certainly are going to make the playoffs. But if they lose, they're in big, big trouble.
Yeah.
But here's the better part. Here's the double whammy.
Okay.
A regulation victory tonight over the arch rival Pittsburgh Penguins, and Pittsburgh's playoff chances are almost completely cooked.
Would be a real shame if that happened.
Can you imagine the double whammy
yeah.
of a regulation win where the Caps are on to the postseason and Sidney Crosby and the Penguins are leaving Capital One Arena knowing all of their work this season has been for naught?
Conversely, can you imagine the wiffle bat two times to the right and propers? To the biscuits and gravy down there. If not only do you lose, but their season is saved somehow, and they go on some kind of run, like we do what the then Redskins did for the Giants when they were about to be 0-3, and Liddell Betts got stopped four times inside the 2-yard line, then they went on to the Super Bowl. Like, do you ever think about stuff like that? I do. I think about those sorts of things all the time. Like, I don't want to save anyone's season. Let's take all the nails and rap on the coffin.
I thought I was doing the show with Danny Ruhier today.
Yeah.
I didn't know Milton was co-hosting.
Well, you know what's going to happen. They're going to lose. Someone will get suspended probably for touching Sidney Crosby.
Tom Wilson is back from a suspension, so it might be him.
Well, yeah, they voted most likely to be suspended in high school yearbook, apparently.
He will return. That's big.
Yeah, don't look at Sidney Crosby. Don't look at him wrong. They'll suspend your ass. And that goes for anybody in the arena. They'll kick you right out.
Good news is this is not one of those nationally televised Caps-Pens games. Where you got to hear about Sidney Crosby.
Oh, Edsel. Sidney Crosby just exhaled through his right nostril, Edsel. Never seen anything like it down here on the ice. Oh.
You wouldn't believe it. He just passed the puck to a teammate. Oh, that's the craziest pass I've ever seen. The puck was on his stick, and then he pushed it toward the teammate, and the teammate got the puck. No one's ever done that before, Edsel.
Guys, in between shifts down here, he's catching his breath. The woman was in labor. He helped deliver the baby, guys. Oh. Oh. Some guy needed a hot dog. He slapped it up to him with the curve of his stick. His stick blade ends all. Oh.
Joe Beninati will
good
be
guys,
on the call.
Please. Now.
On Monumental Sports tonight. He joins us, by the way, in 50 minutes right at 3 o'clock before he heads over to the building.
Now, you're talking to a Joe B guy. I'm a Joe B and Locker guy. Thank goodness we have those guys calling games for us. One of the coolest things we ever got to do was to go into that booth and, you know, Joe B standing up. You know, with the appropriate energy, he's prepared, he's a dynamo. Looking at Locker's notes, still one of my all-time favorite things that you and I have gotten backstage access to. This, I mean, he made like a science fair project.
Well, the wacky about Locker's notes is he handwrites them all.
Yeah.
Big black
Sharpie. It helps him remember us, what he told
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Yeah. Loose leaf paper. And so rather than just having something typed where he could, like, delete two numbers enter the new goal total and print he every single game. We'll take that Sharpie to that loose leaf, spend a couple hours. It's an amazing, amazing prep that he does, and it's why he's a legend.
He's so great. Now, I love those guys, and I love when they're on my television. But this is a hypothetical. Just you and me in the red box with some mold and a leak over our heads. It's not a bit, by the way. There's a leak that's dripping down right next to us, and there's lots of air holes. Anyway.
Ryan, when we walked in, it was funny. I sat in my chair, and I'm kind of looking around like, all right, here we are.
Here we go.
And Ryan goes, you can't sit right there. There's a leak.
Yeah. And I was like, he Forrest Gump just can't sit there.
Where do you want me to go? And he's like, either way. So you and I are straddling the little puddle where the leak is.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, is there a leak? Yes. Is it consistent? Yes. Does it drip often? Is it distracting? Yes and yes. Anyway, there's still tons of mold. But anyway, the point is, and it's unacceptable. This is a top six market.
I'm just saying
it's unacceptable.
Are you happy to be at the ballpark?
Anyway, so the
guys, we should be at the ballpark. Danny also texted us. Let's be honest. A little bit of this is that you just didn't want to walk over. Because he texted
I was in the middle
us.
Of the walk. I was already walking.
Okay, but at two.
In the rain, I was walking.
Let me find my text.
It's about 1:16.
It was. Let me see.
Right? I'm walking over and it was raining.
This is so good. All right, so Danny says first, you forgot your credential. Don't forget about that.
And thanks to our buddy Kyle for hooking that up.
All right, so at 1:16 p.m., text from Danny to the group chat. On my way over. Immediate response, I give you the little iPhone.
You emphasized it.
Emphasized.
Yeah.
Like, here
we go. I felt important.
It's a copy. You know what I'm saying? Like, 10-4, sir.
Yeah.
Copy. We
Roger
got
that.
2 minutes later, Danny. Hey, rain might be falling now. We sure we want to be at the field? Now, mind you, Ryan and I we're comfortable. Our computers are set up. We're ready to go. Danny is advocating for the packing up of shop and coming back over to that office. So is there a little bit of you not wanting to make the putt over on a chilly day?
So, again, I was already three-quarters of the way here,
okay,
walking in the rain. So I know what a crazy person that would wonder aloud among colleagues. Anyway, there's mold here. So the point I was trying to get to, besides the mold, is I love Joby and Locker so much, and they're incredible. But what if I, as a consumer of the Washington Capitals and a hater of the Pittsburgh Penguins, I hope they fold and an expansion team comes and it's not in Pittsburgh. What if I wanted some sort of alternative broadcast? Like it's still the broadcast. Like, it's still the game. The leak just dropped again. It's still the game. It's still centered around the game. But it's, like, not your conventional, regular broadcast. Like, if I wanted an option like that, do I have anything like that tonight?
I can provide one for you tonight.
You can?
I can. Only five times this season, okay, and they're all coming up starting tonight with the big debut. Thank you for the ball on the tee, Daniel.
Yep.
The Monumental Altcast debuts tonight on Monumental Sports Network.
There we go.
Second channel.
Let's go.
If you've got Joby and Locker on the main platform, click on over. It should only be one channel away.
All dead here.
And you can watch us watch the game.
By the way, for me, on my cable package with the old Cox. Yeah, thanks, studio audience. They're so far apart.
Is that right?
Yeah. As Fred Smoot says, it's frustrating.
That is strange.
It's both that way for Masson and for Monumental. So, like, my alternative Masson 2, it's like 130-something. The regular Masson's like 57 or 53. The Caps, Monumental, it's like 57. And then, like, it's like a weird 119 or something like that. It reeks me.
I'm back in the DirecTV game. I
What happened?
Guy.
The betrayal.
I had to.
You did not have to.
You turn around. You see the Nats Park?
Yeah.
It would be the last time I saw it if I didn't get.
But Ryan and Darius present, like, you had this other option. I don't remember which is which. And it's not like a Reddit stream from Finland.
It literally was
does.
That. No. That was the big option they provided.
No, Darius was like, Danny, I hate you. But in addition to that, it's not Reddit. It's like it's a thing with YouTube.Fubo or something.
No? I could have gotten rid of Fubo? YouTube TV and gotten Fubo. I could have.
Yeah.
I could have gotten one or two other things, but DirecTV, which I'd gotten rid of months ago,
yeah,
just in case. I had kept the dish on the roof and all of that, and you know,
did they let you do that?
Yeah.
Were you supposed to turn it in, or you're just like, I'm keeping it?
I'm not really sure. I just kind of did what I was going to do.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah, I just kind of did what I wanted to do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So now the Nats, my friend, on my television, thanks to DirecTV.
That's a DirecTV customer right
so
there.
The channels,
long time and happy.
That's right. Channels are I think 642 for the main one or something.
Uh-huh.
Used to be 641, or maybe that's Masson. I don't know. It's right around the
640. It's in there.
Look at the 640.
It's like a sports section almost.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. But it should be fun. Bruce Boudreau, Tarik El-Bashir, myself. We got Tressway coming on in the first period, bringing some energy, which I'm fired up about that. It's going to be a great night, some good guests, so check out the broadcast.
Am I crazy, or does Tressler have a slap shot? Like, is that a thing that he could hit it really hard, or not, am I making that up?
I'll ask him, but I think that's made up. I don't think he's played hockey.
I could have sworn there was something where it's like, you know, I actually can hit it really hard.
I think he's got a baseball background. You know who his brother-in-law is? I think you sleep on this.
Yes, but I forget.
Bryce Terang. From the Milwaukee Brewers.
He's got six or seven steals to start the season.
He's off to a good start. I don't know how it worked. If he married, I think he married Terang's sister, not vice versa, but they're brother-in-laws. So I know he's always been big into baseball as kind of a second sport, but he's a huge Caps fan.
Yeah.
This is what happens. Like, it's very rare with the Commanders, but when you're here long enough.
Tressler's been here a decade, pretty much.
Longest tenured player on the team by far. It just becomes part of the fabric. You live in the area. You like the teams. You go to games. So I wanted to make him one of our first guests on the Monumental Elkcast.
Or you're here for years and you dress up in Vegas jerseys and look like somebody peeing the Cheerios at Stanley Cup games. You could do that too. There are different options.
But you got to give Harper credit, right?
Of course I do.
I know that you
I'm making a joke.
Well, no. But here's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. You've got to give him credit because I know that you like that he learned his lesson. And now he's gone all in on his city.
The opposite way,
You really, I mean, you can't possibly hate that he used to wear Vegas gear in D.C. and also hate that now that he basically paints himself like the Philly fanatic before every game.
No.
Clearly you're happy about his transition.
Well, that's a funny bit. I didn't have the animus that other folks did. That's where he's from, wearing a jersey from that team.
It sounded like you did a moment ago.
No, I was making a joke. Was being humorous.
You were funny.
Yeah, I was just funny. The thing that's mockable is the nonsensical, like, members only Philly collage jacket thing, pretending that he's always liked it. It just, you know, the human hashtag is struck.
Tonight will be fun. We've only done two rehearsals, quite literally. Like, that's it. And that's my experience with Bruce Boudreau, who's awesome and hilarious. Like, what a fun, entertaining guy. But you know where he showed me something? He's told great stories, and, you know, we've had a good time talking hockey and whatever. But yesterday, mid-second period or something, or a couple days ago on the rehearsal, I said to him, I'm like, have you guys seen the movie Four Brothers? To him and Tarik. Tarik does not see movies. Like, there's just, if there's a movie.
There's no space for it.
He has not seen it, right? He's got a little Ryan Clary to him in that way. Bruce Boudreau's like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love that movie. I just watched it yesterday. And I'm like, what? You just watched Four Brothers? He's like, oh, yeah. Tarik's like, what's it about? And to hear Bruce Boudreau, like Canadian former hockey coach, telling the plot, and he's like, oh, so the mother dies, and then these four guys are not really brothers, but she adopted them. No one else will find this funny, but I hope you do. Just hearing Bruce Boudreau talk about the plot of Four Brothers over top of a hockey game.
Yeah, because it's not dump and chase. It's not like third man high in the zone.
I don't know why. It just popped.
A Mark Wahlberg flick. That's so funny.
And it's such a good movie that everyone sleeps on. I want to talk about the story that Bill Barnwell wrote on ESPN.com today about how easy it is to swing and miss at the top of the draft on quarterbacks, and in fact, how likely it is when you pick up high that you are going to, and whether or not that should be a concern and a worry for the Commanders. We'll get into that next. We are live at Nationals Park on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad, the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They will protect your assets, update your will, and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Remember, in about 35 minutes, right at the top of the hour, we will be giving away tickets to the D.C. Defenders home opener, a 4 o'clock kick at Audi Field on Sunday afternoon. In fact, on Sunday, the Nats play at 1:30.
Yep.
Right across the street, the Defenders are at 4, so that's a double dip opportunity.
That's a double dip chance right there, yep.
The Capitals have a night game at home. The very rare, the never before been done by many of our listeners, I'd imagine, triple header in Washington, D.C. I've never pulled one off.
I've never done it.
That is the Gordie Howe hat trick of games. You could go to the 1:30 Nats game, have a little fun, walk across the street, go to the Defenders home opener, and then get out of there right in time to get over to Capital One Arena for puck drop for the Capitals on Sunday as they make their playoff push. That would be impressive.
Here we go.
Is planning on the triple header in DC Sports.
It is a. I think it's supposed to be decent weather for that as well, which is a nice little factor.
Warm or just not rainy?
I think mostly not rainy. I thought it was supposed to get a hair warmer, but I could be wrong about that. Of course, we have a show meteorologist, the former Ryan Clary. But yeah, just shy of 60 degrees, which is not too shabby.
Don't hate it.
Get yourself to the salt line, grab a couple appies and a beverage or seven, get over to Audi Field, and go to the Caps game. I will be on a windswept field in the middle of nowhere watching my son play soccer, so I can't do the triple dip, but that is not a bad way to spend your Sunday.
Definitely more of a you're single without kids day.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Ryan or Darius, I am in on that day. I'm just going bing, bang, boom.
Just go bing, bang, boom.
Knocking them down one at a time. 3 in 1 day.
That's a big day.
Never pulled it off. I've done two. I have been at Nats Park and at Capital One Arena for a Caps game.
I haven't done a double dip since I've had kids.
Which doesn't surprise you,
but it pretty much takes it away. But I did a couple double dips in my 20s. Right at the end, when the Nats first came back, I would do like an RFK afternoon game, then like Caps at night, or like a Wizards game in the evening. I did a couple of those.
NFL draft quarterback conversation on ESPN today via Bill Barnwell. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Really smart writer. He points out the history of drafting quarterbacks at the top of the board, the likeliness of hitting on the pick, and asks a bunch of what I think are really good questions about how teams should be viewing drafting quarterbacks. But reading from his piece, he cites Field Yates of ESPN's most recent mock draft. Danny, three quarterbacks in the first three picks. That has happened only two times in the last 25 years. In that same mock, Yates had a fourth quarterback at pick number five. That would be first time ever territory. Uncharted, never before seen. If four quarterbacks go in the top five, there's never been a draft where we have seen that. And there's a very good chance with the J.J. McCarthy noise and helium that we're going to see it in a couple of weeks.
I think it's very reasonable that it happens. I mean, it's both a quality class in terms of the guy up at the top, right? I mean, it's not just quality for this year. It's quality for year over year. I don't know if he's a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence was at this point, or talking about Caleb Williams, or Andrew Luck was, or some of the others, but he's thought of in among that ilk. One of these other guys, in terms of Daniels, in terms of May, and maybe even McCarthy to a degree, might be 1-1 or 1-2 in any other given year. So you've got depth in the class, and then there are a couple more wild cards, guys that were in college a little extra long, but you know, very productive in their own right in Penix and in Bo Nix. And the usual quarterback starvation applies. Everybody knows it's the cheat code. Everybody knows that if you get it right somehow, some way, however it happens, whether it's the second player that you drafted that year or Mr. Irrelevant or somehow in free agency or whatever the case is, if you have it, it makes everybody look smart. It makes everybody look good, and your key card gets to work for a long time, right? If you miss it linebacker, you miss it, the right guard position, it'll end up being okay. It covers so many mistakes and a lot of bad smells in the building. It's ultimate cologne. So it makes sense to me that quarterback-starved teams that happen to be, A, at the top of the draft, B, teams that are within pouncing range to make some moves to get to that spot, This I could absolutely see the first four guys going quarterback and maybe even another one somehow borderline top 10, thinking about, again, that group that doesn't make it into the top four or five, trying to pounce and take one either 11, 12, 13, something like that.
If teams are just more desperate. Quarterbacks are now viewed with more import than ever before, and this is not a one-year aberration
right. Of
these quarterbacks going so early in such high numbers. There were three quarterbacks chosen in the top four a year ago. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson were the three QBs. You think about that. Three in the top four last year. In 2021, three picks, all quarterbacks right off the top to begin the draft. Trevor Lawrence went to the Jaguars. Zach Wilson, who has not worked out with the Jets. And Trey Lance, a disaster with the 49ers, who's no longer in that organization. And they traded up from outside the top 10 to go get him. But there have been four drafts in league history in which at least five QBs were selected in round one. Two of them have taken place just since 2018. So think about that. It's happened five times ever. 40%, two of those times, just in the last 5 years, and we're about to see another one. So it's going to be three out of the seven times in history. So Barnwell's point is quarterbacks are being drafted earlier more often But as he goes on to write, the hit rate is not changing.
Right.
Which just means more teams are going to miss inevitably. Mm-hmm. Right? I'll read from his piece. Quarterback has always been an important position, but this is a shift worth evaluating. Are teams getting too aggressive pursuing quarterbacks when the return has been players like Wilson and Lance? So let's just answer these questions kind of as we go in real time, because there's a bunch of rhetorical questions he asked here. The first one is, are teams getting too aggressive? I think the answer is obviously yes. When you have Christian Ponder drafted at 12 and E.J. Manuel at 16, and you just look at the guys that are getting taken, not typically in the top three, although that's who he's referencing.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky, top three.
Top
yeah.
five, top eight, top 10, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's no different than you look to your left, you see Mahomes. You look to your right, you see Allen. You see what the teams with the QBs that have found the answer, that have the rookie contract young quarterback or the superstar on his second contract, and you go, those are the haves, where the have-nots. So that's where the desperation comes from. So to me, there's no doubt that teams are acting with more urgency and aggressiveness to get a QB.
Without question. And some would look at that as a negative. I don't. And philosophical, if let's say I owned a team, right? It's Danny Harris over here. What I would say privately to my other owners and people in my executive C-suite is, we have a general manager because we think he's good. We think this guy's qualified, sharp, smart, all the right things, right? If he gets it wrong, I'll think that about the next guy. You know, like, he'll get a couple cracks at it, this dude. And if we don't get it, I have no allegiance to this current general manager structure. Guys, a lot of times, I think, in football executive roles, do things to be able to keep their own gig. I think that's true in a lot of sports. So, in other words, you don't want to swing and miss a whole bunch of times at quarterback, but that's all you should be doing, in my view, like organizationally. Until you have one, stop doing bridge things, stop doing the Carson Wentz thing, stop doing Ryan Fitzpatrick, stop doing Jimmy Garoppolo or Case Keenum or even, you know, Derek Carr to a degree. You swing for the fences every time. And if you don't get it, you're probably in a better position to get one again in a couple of years.
Yeah, it is possible to win without an elite quarterback.
Totally is. Absolutely.
It's just really hard.
Yeah.
And the proof's in the pudding. If you look at who has been in and won Super Bowls over the last 20-some years, you know, for every Flacco on a heater or Eli Manning who got hot a couple of times, for every Brad Johnson going all the way back to the earliest parts of the 2000s with the Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, there are five Brady or Manning appearances, or you know, a handful of, there's, whether it's Roethlisberger, I mean, it's Hall of Fame
since 1992.
Greats in their era types.
Yeah, the modern era free agency, the really what I consider this now current modern era of the NFL. It's, it had different iterations and changed a lot. We've seen fads, things come and go. It's basically a who's who at the quarterback position in a given year. It's a Hall of Fame list. As you said, Rodgers, Breeze, Manning, Brady, you know, Elway a couple times in the late 90s, Aikman, Steve Young. It's the best to ever do it in a given era with everything going right for their team.
Here's the next question Barnwell asks in this ESPN piece. What has changed to make the league target quarterbacks at a higher rate than ever before? I think it's gotten harder in a passing league where the rules are designed around offense to win without a great quarterback. And it seems to me like in a previous era when Joe Gibbs won three titles with three QBs, mm-hmm. It was a little more, not, you couldn't win with a mediocre QB then either, but it was a little more plug and play, I think, where you could have Mark Rippon for a season have a great year behind an amazing line, handing the ball off and chucking it deep, throwing it vertically to Clark, having Monk work underneath. But I think right now, in this era, we've just seen that the teams with the really good quarterbacks win the most. That's my answer. I don't know if that's too simplified.
No, I think that's a huge chunk of it. Here's what it is to me. Roster turnover. Everything changes every time around players. Like, if you look at a guy that's a quarterback on a team for, look at Tom Brady. Now, that's the exception to the exception. But he's there for 20 years. He played with basically seven different, quote-unquote, Patriots teams. Smash mouth, ground and pound, great defense. Air raid, Randy Moss, you know, 25 touchdowns. Then another group that was based on two tight ends. Then something else in between. Like, teams morph constantly, and that constant of having a great quarterback means you're competitive.
Next question he asks, are teams foolish to get involved when there's a run on QBs in particular in a draft? Now, I think the average person listening would just respond yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't jump in on a run just to get one. I'm going to say no, I don't think you're foolish. I come back to my original premise. Do you have a really good quarterback or not? Because I don't fear missing. It's easy for me to say. I'm not the GM.
It's not my job, exactly.
Who's going to lose the job. But the whole point is finding the right one. When's the last time you won the lottery without playing? right? When's the last time you had a great first date without going on one? Mm-hmm. You got to go out on the dance floor. Like, you got to get into the batter's box if you're going to hit a home run. So are you foolish to engage in a run on QBs? No, because it's an inexact science. So if you get the fourth one on your board, who's still a first-round talent as you see it, in this draft, maybe that's McCarthy or that's Penix, mm-hmm. and you're the Giants, let's say, or you're the Broncos trading up because it's gone QB, 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 and you want to make sure you get the last one. I still think you're doing your team a service, and you're doing your club a solid by trying to improve at the most important position.
At the risk of echoing you, 100%. I mean, to me, this is – if this was an exact science, okay, if Caleb Williams was a 9.7 and Jaden Daniels was a 9.4 and Drake Maye was a 9.6, you just take the next one and you plug and play, and it's like a video game. It's not. If we acknowledge the fallacy in these professional evaluators getting it wrong constantly, then it leads to a pretty simple paradigm. But we don't, because these guys have egos and they trust their eyes and they trust this tape and they trust this one scout or this one coach who told them, hey, I guarantee that this guy's going to be great or whatever. And they make the selections based on that. That's the wrong way to do it. If you don't have one, take one. I really believe it's that simple. That's why it drove me crazy for all those years when you hear the defenders of Ron Rivera and company go, what if you didn't love the guy? I don't care. Take one. And you may be proven right, but what happens just as often is you're proven wrong. You might find somebody. If you don't have one, you're wasting your time.
From 1993, and that's when the NFL moved to an 8-round draft. It's now seven.
Now seven.
But 1993 to 2010, teams used an average of 8.5% of their overall capital in a draft based on the Jimmy Johnson chart value of each pick, right? So about 8.5% of what they had on the quarterback position. Since 2011, that mark has risen to 11%, which is a jump of almost 30% over just over the last decade. If you look at the last five classes, as Bill Barnwell points out, four or more quarterbacks drafted in the first round from 1980 to 2010. That's five classes with four plus over those 30 years. That's been the case five times from 2011 on, a number that should rise to six this year. So it took 30 years to do it from 80 to 2010, and now from 11 to 24 over a 13-year span, we're going to have done it half the time about six times. Mm. Question for you guys on the MGM National Harbor listener lines is, should this data, which suggests more quarterbacks get taken early, but there isn't a higher rate of them hitting, so in fact the risk is larger, should that affect how Washington feels about what it's going to do at number two? Does that make you more likely or inclined or more interested in trading back? Or do you just go forward sans fear because you need a QB and number two is the best chance to get a winner? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Top of the hour, 3 o'clock, we will give away tickets to the D.C. Defenders home opener. That's 12 minutes from right now. Make sure you're listening. Start up next hour, we've got those tickets for you. It's a four-pack, so you're bringing three of your friends. Also at 3 o'clock in 12 minutes, Joe Beninati. You know him from Monumental Sports Network. He is the face and voice of Capitals hockey on television over the last quarter century. He's going to get us ready for the best rivalry in D.C. sports. Renewed tonight, Caps-Penguins. I don't think that's a hot take anymore. When I first started suggesting that, I would get a lot of pushback for, at the time, Redskins-Cowboys.
Yeah, because that was.
They've since changed their name. Commanders-Cowboys doesn't have quite the same ring to it, but I digress. I think it's pretty easy at this point. It's Caps-Penguins. That's the best rivalry in town.
It's got the venom. It's got the hatred. It's got the history of
the two great players that have been head-to-head since day one.
Exactly, and it's always nationally televised. That was a huge part of that Redskins-Cowboys rivalry, was that the winner probably won the NFC East, you know, some of the Giants years notwithstanding. But those games always were magnified, always against really good teams, both really competitive at the top of the deal. The road always went through the NFC East, right? Well, that was gone for a long time because Washington, frankly, was a second or third tier team, haven't been very good, even though, you know, Dallas hasn't enjoyed any postseason success. Washington hadn't enjoyed any kind of success, postseason, regular season, except for the preseason. Larry Mike always used to remind us their preseason record. But Yeah, I think it's Caps Penguins because those two guys, right, have been at the center of it.
Talking about the quarterback position and just how much things have changed over the last several years as teams are now taking QBs way more often early in the draft than they used to without a higher hit rate, and whether or not that is a mistake. 800-636-1067. Does it give you any more pause about Washington getting ready to call a quarterback's name at number two? Let's go to JD in Alexandria on the Fan. What's up, JD?
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
My two cents with that is if you already have a quarterback who you're sold on, move back, grab whoever you want, you know, figure out your priorities. But if you don't have a quarterback, grabbing a quarterback at number two puts you in position to be so much more sure about that pick who you're grabbing. And I think that there is zero chance you can move away from that number two overall pick with any other position but a quarterback. And before I go, just wanted to say there's no Irish goodbye here. Danny, Grant, thank you for your time. I'll see you guys next time.
That's a great bit.
You're a sweetheart.
That's tip of the cap on that bit. I didn't know where you were going, and then you got there. That was good.
Doing it the right way.
That was good.
Saying goodbye to your pal.
There's no Irish goodbye here.
Very good.
Ooh.
I view it as almost mathematical, right? In my mind, picking a quarterback at one gives you the best chance to get it right. And then two's worse but better than three. Three is worse but better than four and all the way down the draft. So a first-round pick is more likely to hit than a second, than a third, and so on. And so is Bill Barnwell's math correct? Of course. Is his take that it is really difficult, and is it increasingly because more QBs get taken and the hit rate isn't necessarily higher? Essentially, your percentage of getting it right is getting lower because more teams are more desperate.
Yep.
All that's true. I still think taking one at two instead of trading back and getting the fourth guy off the board gives you a better chance at getting a great young quarterback. Taking one at two instead of going, let's just say, back four picks to take a tackle and then finding your quarterback at 36, hoping, let's say, Bo Nix is still there, I think you're better off picking between all the QBs you like, not named Caleb Williams, rather than just being handed the last guy, Bo Nix, at 36. And that's why, to me, it still makes sense. And it is still a necessity when you pick this high to try to get it right then and right there.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. I mean, to me, there's a huge variable in this, and that is the situation that the player is going to. I talk about this all the time. There are so many guys that we view as punchlines that we think are just that are jokes, and you know they're thrown out as examples of why you don't draft a quarterback, etc. Well, they went to a bad organization, a desperate need of lightning in a bottle that had no preparation, probably a bad owner, everything else. So now we laugh at David Carr and Akili Smith and EJ Manuel and a million other guys, but they were decent prospects at one point. A lot of these guys were, right? So there is some credence to saying, because this is inexact, we're going to get one of these highly rated guys. Adding a few other pieces to supplement and help them is not crazy to me. I'm staying at two, by the way, and taking one, but I wouldn't hate going to five for the sake of argument, and ending up with the quote-unquote fourth-rated guy in a class and picking up more things.
I think in a lot of years I would be more inclined to do that. This year I think the quality of the QB you can get at two is higher than normal. This is not, and maybe you could say this is hindsight, but even at the time, Wilson and Lance is not the same to me as the quality of May and Daniels. Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to throw McCarthy into that against, I don't know who the other guy was that year, Mac Jones or Justin Fields, yep, or whatever it is. Like, this is a better group at the top, and I think the fall off isn't as extreme in the top five, but it gets pretty quickly. There's a cliff, you know, after that. And if you miss, you're in big trouble, and I just wouldn't risk that. Joe Beninati joins us to preview the Caps and the Penguins tonight. A gotta-have-it game for the Caps as they try to punch a playoff ticket down the stretch. Plus, we're giving away DC Defenders tickets to their home opener at Audi Field on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. That's next on G&D. Kick off your future with the law firm of Condori and Murad. They are the official sponsor of this here program, the Grant and Danny Radio Show. They will help protect your assets, update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com and mention the show to get a discount. That is kmlawyers.com. Grant.com. As promised right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're going to win four tickets. It's a four-pack to the UFL's DC Defenders home opener Sunday, April 7th, 4 p.m. Houston's in town at Audi Field. Tickets are on sale now. Tickets and more event information, thefandc.com. Danny, I had mentioned earlier, I wondered if anyone was going to do the old triple dip in
DC
sports.
The triple Lindy.
I posed that question on X. No takers yet, but a lot of people are starting to try to tag friends and see if maybe they'll make plans.
Put a little chum in the water.
Nats at Nats Park at 1:35. Defenders at Audi at 4. Caps at Capital One Arena at 6 on Sunday.
That is that second turnaround there is the brisk one. Because Nats to Defenders across the street, easy, no problem, right? That's a quick walk. That getting down to Capital One Arena, that's the tough one. That's you got to be lickety-split there.
A man who's going to be at Capital One Arena that night, and he'll be the best-dressed man in the building, is Joe Beninati. You will watch him tonight on the Monumental Sports Network as he and Craig Lachlan are on the call of Capitals hockey. And Joe B., boy, is it a big one tonight. Got the Penguins in town for a gotta-have-it game as the Caps make a playoff push.
No doubt, gotta have it. And, you know, I haven't picked out the Sunday outfit yet. There's a pregame ceremony. That's got to be a good one. I'll have to work on that when we get home from Raleigh. This stretch is crazy, guys. This is four games in 6 days. I don't know how the athletes do it, but they do it, and they do it well. And this game tonight is gigantic.
I want to get back into this game in just a second, but you've now tickled my interest.
Yeah, you picked it.
I was in the barn for the Oshie celebration of 1,000, which was only about a week and a half ago. So we're now making this a habit here with 1,000 game sellies. John Carlson will be honored this weekend. And Danny, in the building, mm-hmm. Joe Beninati serves as master of ceremonies.
Yes.
Down on the ice. Now, you don't actually have to walk on ice, right? You just walk out on a carpet? How does that work?
There is a carpet. So you have the walk-off from where the Zamboni leaves the ice, or the Olympia corner, I should say. The Olympia leaves the ice. And then as you get to the ice, there is a carpet that takes you to the little lectern, and away you go.
So you don't have to worry. You're not, like, walking kind of daintily along the ice trying not to fall.
Grant, I played goal for a long, long time. I'm not really worried about the ice, but thank you for thinking for me. Thank you for thinking about me. No, there is no contact with the ice. If I do it right, there's no contact with the ice. If I touch the ice and I wipe out, that's all on me.
Well, Joe, I actually legit wanted to ask you, how are you as a skater? Like one to 100. 100
Joe
is like
a hockey player.
Well, I know, but like right now is like a skater world class levels. 100. One is, you know,
so like baby, 100 means he wins a gold in Paris.
Yeah, baby. One is a baby deer hours after being born on ice.
Danny, I give my late father credit. I always wanted to play goal. So at age 4 and 5 and 6 years old, Dad, I want to be a goalie. Dad, I want to be a goalie. He said, you can't be a goalie until you make a travel team as a skater. He knew how important edge work was for goalies. Mm-hmm. Goalies are better skaters than we give them credit for. He made me make a travel team, and I did. And as soon as I did, and as soon as that first year was done, boom, we went and bought the goalie gear after that. I'm sad to say I have not been in full gear, Danny, in more than 10 years.
Yeah.
And it sickens me. It really does. Because I love the sport. I love the game.
Sickens, so not, Joe Beninati.
So 96 is the grid I heard there.
Oh, I had to give you on 100 scale.
Yeah.
Skating wise, I can still skate. I mean, I'm in the 85 category.
They will not need Joe B tonight because they're getting some reinforcements.
Here we
back.
Go.
Sounds like so. We know Tom Wilson's going to play. Suspension's over. What do we know about Oshie after the skate today and his health? What can you tell us? Get us up to speed as the Caps look to hold off the Penguins, who are hard charging in the wild card.
Guys, we got some, I think, bad news this morning. Spencer Carberry was talking to the media. They asked about Oshie's availability. He said not tonight, more likely not for the back-to-back, which to me means I don't think he's going to be ready for Raleigh tomorrow as well. It sounds like he's seeing a doctor. This is a doctor, I'm sure, that has worked with TJ before on this ailment, and we'll get him back in order. But it's not going to. I don't think it's going to happen before Sunday. Let's see. He may need the entire week off to get till next week.
All right, keys for tonight, Joe B. Pittsburgh behind them in the standings. You can, you know, I don't want to say nail in the coffin NBA Jam style, but they'll deal a big blow to Pittsburgh's playoff hopes while booing your own. What do they have to do?
Well, you'd love to see them win in regulation, right? Because that would bring the Caps to 84. It would leave Pittsburgh at 79. It would make, you know, you'd really put a crimp in Pittsburgh style if you don't make this a 3-point game tonight. If you win in regulation, it'd be ideal. To do so, watch 87. Crosby, when the Caps last saw Pittsburgh, it was just a couple weeks ago. It was March 7th, 4 weeks ago. And Sidney was disgruntled. The team was making trades. They weren't going to bring back Jake Guentzel, et cetera, et cetera. And the Caps walked all over them, 6-0. Charlie Lindgren was dynamite early. Everybody scored. It was 6 different goal scorers. And the Penguins looked disinterested. In the last 6 games, Sidney is reawakened. He's got 15-some-odd points in those times. He is the driving force once more for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the guy to his right is really good and is always good against the Caps. And that's Brian Rust. If you can keep this an even strength 5-on-5 kind of game, I think I know I like the Caps' chances on home ice. I'm confident that Lindgren will keep them in it early, and that's been the secret. Even when the Caps bend early in games, Lindgren is there to save their bacon, keeps them at arm's length. They rally, they recover. Hopefully, there's no need to rally tonight. They grab the lead early, never chase the game. But it always comes back to 87. He's just that good, and he's not going away, even at the age of 36.
Crosby, a 6-game point streak. You mentioned last couple of games, 4 goals, 15 points over those 6 games. He's been rolling. And the aforementioned Rust also comes in with a 6-game point streak, 5 goals, 4 assists in that time, Joe B. I mentioned Wilson returning. What a massive boost this could provide. What should we be watching early to see if he's got his legs under him and maybe seeing if he is kind of operating at 100% rather than maybe being a little careful and cautious on the ice?
Yeah, that's something that we always keep tabs on whenever Tom gets in hot water with the NHL, how he comes back. He has to play and be Tom Wilson, and I'm confident that he will be. It sure looks like he's going to be playing with McMichael and Ovechkin, and in that role, he's the guy who has to create space. He's the great puck retriever along the boards with his size and strength and speed. Guys, he helps the Caps in just about every department. He's a terrific all-around player. He can be easily on your first power play. He can easily be in your first penalty-killing group. He's got that kind of impact on the game, and I know he's fresh, and I know he's going to be shot out of a cannon tonight. He takes pride in throwing clean body checks, keep the shoulder, keep the elbow down, hit through the core. I want him to be Tom Wilson. I want him to rattle some people's feelings, but don't get up near the head and certainly don't swing the stick. He's never had a stick swinging issue until this latest one, and I don't expect to see it happen again.
That's Joe Beninati with us here on Grant and Danny. Joe B, you know, that wonderful streak that they were on, now, you know, 3 straight losses, though they did manage a point against Boston there going to overtime. But that amazing streak, it felt like they were kind of punching above their weight class a little bit. It was one of those, you're on a streak, don't mess with it. That third period against Buffalo the other night kind of reminded me how fragile this whole thing is with this group this way. Obviously without Tom Wilson and Oshie, but some of these young kids that haven't done this before, it feels like there's not much margin for error here down the stretch.
No, these are all learning experiences for these guys, and that's why I think the organization and this group of players will be that much better going forward. But with respect to that third period in Buffalo, I don't want to get into the would've, could've, should've game. The Caps hit 7 posts in that game. 7. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so many of them came in the first 5-10 minutes of the game, they could easily have been out to a 3-0 lead in that game. Okay, would have, could have, should have, didn't do it, and got rolled by a Buffalo team that, I'm telling you, is way better than its record indicates. They have a number of young studs who are going to be a pain in the neck for a good long time once they figure it all out. But for Washington's sake, it's been the finishing, Danny. During that stretch that you were talking about, the hot spell, the pucks are going in.
Yeah.
They were finishing. They were turning the light on. They didn't need 10 chances to get one goal. In that game against Buffalo, early in the game, post, great saves, shot wide, held onto the puck too long, didn't finish, and then Buffalo found their skating legs. If they convert early tonight, if they can click like we saw during that hot spell, they'll give Pittsburgh a lot of trouble.
Joe Beninati with us on Grant and Danny. You heard Joe B mention his goaltending prowess and his background between the pipes. He has certainly enjoyed calling the action with Charlie Lindgren, going side to side with ease and making so many acrobatic stops. I mean, you needed some tea probably after the call against the Sabres because, man, did he make some 10-bell saves, some really athletic stops. What have you made of now the workload they've thrown on him? 10 in a row,
yep.
16 of 17 games he's played in, Joe B.
That's the interesting thing, and this has never been on Charlie's resume, Grant. I mean, he's doing all this, and he's hitting his stride at the age of 30. It's a really great story, I think, nationally and throughout North America. The scribes are starting to pick up on just what kind of a season Lindgren has had. And, yeah, with all due respect to the Dylan Stroms, Alex Ovechkins, John Carlsons of the world, Charlie's been the team's MVP. He's been that good for this long. He's taken the job away from Darcy. And you're right, there are three or four or five times a game where he makes an, oh, my God, did he just make that save kind of save. And those are the kinds of metrics where they talk about, you know, saves above expected or high danger chances, save percentage. Charlie's been among the leaders in that category, those categories, all season long. I couldn't be happier for him. He's a great guy, easy to root for. And I think he's refining his craft as he gets older. His reaction time, guys, his reflexes off the charts. But now he's learning to get more of his body behind saves, that it's not just a lightning-fast full split, but it's more compact. And that's going to help Charlie with deflections and all of a sudden change of directions on pucks that often squirt through goalies. Charlie's been making those saves too. So the more he works with Scott Murray, the Caps goalie coach, the better he's been getting. And they have so much confidence in him right now. They know he's going to keep them in. It's just a matter of can they get him some goals, get him a lead to protect.
Give me somebody. I mean, obviously, Lindgren and a couple of the headliners with Wilson coming back, et cetera, we know who've got to pull their weight. Give me an unsung hero, Joby, that's got to be good tonight.
Hendricks, LaPierre, and Connor McMichael. I know Dylan Strome's going to answer the bell. Dylan's been fantastic from a shooting standpoint, lately from a playmaking standpoint. It's those two other centers down the middle. Nick Dowd's going to do his job as best he can on that fourth line, as best he can with the penalty killers, try to win as many faceoffs he can. That's a key tonight because Pittsburgh's the best faceoff team in the league. Jeff Carter is unbelievable. Crosby has amazing timing. It's going to be interesting to see how the young centers, McMichael and LaPierre, perform at the dot. Now, the Caps have been able to win games, guys, with those youngsters getting beaten up at the faceoff dot. They're learning. It takes time for young centers to really learn not only the opposite center that they're facing, but the linesperson's drop propensity, all sorts of different. How much can I cheat? How much can I get away with? I had a great conversation with Connor McMichael talking about him taking draws against all four of the Pittsburgh centers, and he was telling me different plans that they have in place for different centers. I won't divulge them now, but it's kind of interesting that they can go that far into depth. I think both of those guys are learning instinctively how to make plays at the NHL level. I think McMichael's a better finisher than LaPierre. LaPierre probably has a higher gear speed-wise. McMichael has been doing some really good things, and I'm looking forward to seeing him with Ovechkin and Wilson. LaPierre is the kind of player who I think from an upside standpoint is really going to impress.
Joe Beninati, Monumental Sports Network. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock tonight against the Penguins in a gotta-have-it game for your Washington Capitals. Joe B., what's the tie we've picked out for tonight?
My favorite designer is Italo Ferretti. This is a Ferretti tie. We got a lot of red in the jacket tonight. So, yeah, we're rocking it. We're rocking the red. And I have to wish you and the guys at Monumental Sports Network all the best on the Altcast tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Take a big, giant leap today.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It should be a really, really fun broadcast, and it'll be cool to have you and Locker in the ears and just kind of making observations. I'll say this, and this won't surprise you. We've got to do basically 1.5 rehearsals, I'll call it. And sitting next to Bruce Boudreau, I mean, what a hilarious, also insightful, but just a character, man. He is so funny.
Guys, it was so much fun when he was coaching the team. Honestly, Grant and Danny, he would finish a game, come on the plane, just be bursting with, you know, information and wanting to tell people something. And he'd come straight back to me in Locker and start bending our ears. It was fabulous. Some of the stuff we shouldn't have heard, most of the stuff we couldn't use back on the air.
Well, of course
not. My gosh, he's an amazing storyteller. And just the energy that he has, the humor he has, the love that he has for the game is infectious.
Joby, true story. This morning, I had to get my kids to school and kind of go about my day, had a bunch of errands and things to run. I wasn't even thinking about it. But as I'm getting dressed, groggy in the morning, before doing anything else, just that's going to get a little graphic for a second, but bear with me. My underpants had a yellow stripe.
Hey now.
By design, not because of something that I'd done, and I took them right off, and I changed underpants. I went with a blue underpants. There's no yellow, there's no black in any of my clothing today. I won't have it. Couldn't have it today.
Absolutely no black and gold. It's one of those kind of nights. I wish that was the case inside the arena. I hope the Caps, and I know the Caps fans, are going to show up big time tonight rocking the red.
Yeah, no kidding. I would like for there not to be several thousand Penguins.
I think
fans.
The Yinzers are here at Nats Park enjoying the weather.
Well, that's the thing. We got the double dip. Got Penguins.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're a Pittsburgh
that's right. That's
fan,
that's the Pirates, Buccos, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you're that's my concern is if you're a Pittsburgh fan, maybe you come down and
you got your own double dip.
Stay in a hotel and you get to see both.
That I did see
bad.
A Crosby jersey, by the way, heading to the stands.
Oh,
I didn't like
no.
it. I didn't like it. I didn't care for it.
Joby, have a great call.
Guys, thank you. Thank you. Grant, you too. Be well.
Appreciate you, sir. There's Joe Beninati, one of the best over at Monumental Sports Network, and obviously, legend when it comes to Caps hockey. It's funny that it becomes this way, but, I mean, maybe outside of Alex Ovechkin, who's been scoring 40-plus goals since I was in high school, there's nobody more synonymous with Capitals hockey to me than Joe B, and that's how it becomes. Now, it's been several years since Buck Ants and Chenier were no longer on the call of the Wizards, mm-hmm. but there was a time – Gilbert comes and goes, right? And Antoine Jameson is here.
I always say this.
But the furniture really is those faces and voices that you welcome into your living room every night for those few hours. And him and Locker are just such an institution.
100%. And, before I was fortunate enough to, get into this line of work and this role, those guys were almost bigger deals to me than some of the athletes. Because you said it. They're the constants. They are the delivery mechanism. They are there to guide you through the good, the bad. And there was so much bad, but all the high moments, the joys, and they all four guys you mentioned, by the way, happen to be excellent at their craft. Joby and Locker still, I'll put them up there with anybody, period, in the story. But you're right. I mean, it was a bigger deal for me initially to meet Steve Buckhantz than it was like to shake Anton Jameson's hand. Jameson was like, he was here. It was great. I watched every night, but it was like Buckhantz and Chenier to me where they were there for not only Anton Jameson, but for Jordan Crawford and the eras before. That constant is such a huge deal.
It's a chilly day where we're broadcasting live at Nationals Park in the left field concourse over in sections 106 and 107. So stop by and say hello when you get in the yard. But it looks like the rain is holding off, and we've actually got blue skies overhead. Which
it's sunshine. Remember that?
I haven't seen a sky that blue in about 4 days around here. So that is a good sign. A little bit chilly, as I said, with some wind blowing, so bring your jackets if you're coming out to the yard to see the Nationals try to win a series against the Pirates. Grant and Danny with you next. A sports team is leaving its city next season. We'll give you the deets on the Fan. Live at Nationals Park, where the Nats and the Pirates are getting ready to play the rubber match of a three-game series. We're Grant and Danny, and you are listening to the Fan. Busy news day in sports early on this Thursday ahead of matinee baseball in the district. Running through some of the big stories before we get ready to hand pass the wand over to Charlie and Dave. For pregame, coming up in about 8 minutes. The Oakland A's are about to just be the A's or the Athletics, whichever you prefer.
This is so weird, man.
This is strange. So, look, the A's are going to Las Vegas. We knew that. We've known that for a little while. Their fans have essentially, and I don't blame them at all, started to boycott the team. Nobody goes to the games. They're doing these things where they have gatherings outside the ballpark. It's getting more acrimonious even than it was. The owner, who's just bad for sports and bad for the city, is taking the team and moving it to Vegas, and because he's doing that, the fan base is livid, and so it's this really ugly scene right now where the fans and the team are clashing to the point where a couple players were wearing wristbands in support of one of the local venues nearby that is very pro-A's and anti the owner, and one of the guys got sent to the minors and another got benched, and there's some concern or thought
that
maybe it's because they were wearing these wristbands, essentially.
I mean, it's ugly. There's no way around that, and this open flirtation with Vegas So, you know, I and then the guy gets to turn around and say, look, no one's coming to the games. Well, yeah, because you're going to Vegas. Like, everyone's known it for years that you have no interest in building this team back up and no interest in investing in it.
Well, not only that, I mean, think about whatever silent boycott, if you want to call it that, there was for Snyder, where people just slowly but surely checked out, didn't buy the merch, went to games to a lesser extent. What if you knew the team was leaving, that this was borrowed time, and that they're basically right. just a rented club in a horrible ballpark? And by the way, the product is abysmal. I mean, they're worse than the Nats without some of the Nats prospects coming, if you think about it that way. But the story today was that they are leaving Oakland earlier than expected. They are not going to play in Oakland next year. They're going to go to Sacramento, where their AAA affiliate has been for much of the last several years. And from 2025 through 2027, because they haven't started building the ballpark in Vegas yet, I was just out there, and it was being pointed out where it's expected to be if everything goes seamlessly. They're going to knock down, if you guys are familiar with the strip, like the Tropicana over where that is.
Yeah, RIP the Trop, man.
And the ballpark will go there. But that means 3 years of baseball starting next season in Sacramento for the Athletics, who will not be called the Oakland A's or the Sacramento A's. They're just going to go by the A's.
I'm the most sure about that, by the way. But Sacramento, I understand what they're doing. They have long been agitating. That's not the right word. That makes it sound negative. They've been trying to showcase themselves as a destination for something besides the Kings. They want more pro sports teams. They want to be more of an epicenter. So it's kind of like a dry trial run for them, just to kind of prove they've got the infrastructure, ability to handle it, et cetera. So I get why they're doing it. But, man, I feel for Oakland sports fans in a major way. They have been better dealed by multiple owners on multiple occasions. How many kicks to the shins can you take? I mean, how many indignities? How many times can the Raiders leave? How many times can the Warriors go back across the bay? How many times can the A's let you know that we don't want you? We don't want this marketplace. It stinks.
A new home for former Commanders quarterback Carson Wentz. He is with the Kansas City Chiefs, backing up Patrick Mahomes. I believe there's going to be an open competition in training camp between Mahomes and Wentz.
That popped me.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know exactly how this will work.
Obviously, I look forward to the challenge. You know, obviously, having Carson in, you know, he'll obviously push me to be better. And, you know, may the best man win. It's probably going to be me.
He likes to throw to Trav. You got to use the Trav.
Well, I mean, obviously, Coach Reed wants to have him throw to Trav some, but I'll probably be doing that because I'll work with the ones first and second and third. And if he gets off the bench, it's what's the word I'm looking for? Disaster. So
Wentz says that Nick Foles sold him on going to link up with Andy Reid.
I bet he did.
In Kansas City. I would love to see. I don't want to, like, Patrick Mahomes is the best.
Thank you.
I would love to see Wentz for a couple games at the end of the year or something with that Chiefs offense and Andy Reid. Just to see what it looks like. Because if he can't play at a high level in that situation, you're probably just not going to.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen for you.
But he is in Kansas City. And Taylor Heinicke redid his deal yesterday to stay with the Atlanta Falcons, backing up Kirk Cousins. So there's your update on the former Commanders
weird
disaster starter situation.
Weird. That's all. That's all I have to say about that. It just nothing is right. Up is down. Left is right. Dogs and cats living together.
It is time to give you the Nationals starting lineup today ahead of their ball game coming up here at Nats Park with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Josiah Gray's on the hill. His first start of the season was ugly. He's got to bounce back after an opening day outing in Cincinnati where he got rocked by the Reds. Big start for JoJo in his second of the year. Behind him, the lineup, shortstop, Seat, Jay, Abrams hitting .316 on the year, drove in two last night. Right fielder Lane Thomas bats second. He has driven in four, tied for the team high. Joey Meneses will hit third and DH. Joey Gallo coming off three hits in his first homer as a National last night. Bats cleanup and is back in the lineup at first base, left on left against lefty Martin Perez. Riley Adams catches in a day game. He will bat fifth. Left fielder Jesse Winker gets the call, first time we've seen him since he left with a sickness a couple days ago. Trey Lipscomb, the third baseman, the rookie, bats seventh for the Nationals, hitting .357, playing third. Ildemaro Vargas over Luis Garcia instead of facing a lefty. The left-handed hitter, who was three hits last night, is on the bench. So to Vargas, the right-handed bat, switch hitter, who can bat righty, bats eighth, plays second. And then Jacob Young called back up from the minors to replace injured Victor Robles left with an injury yesterday, plays center field and bats ninth.
Yeah, good for Jacob Young, bad for Victor Robles. Feel for him. Just, you know, it seems it's operation can't get right for yet another year. Continues. Not his fault, obviously, but it is a bummer for a guy that was going to get a start today against another lefty.
Jacob Young, really, really fun watch. Great speed, good defender, plays a million miles an hour. A little bit short maybe on, like, overall size, talent, those mm-hmm. types of measurables. But he is a well-over-skill guy, bat to ball, makes a lot of contact, will be a thorn in the side of Pittsburgh today and any team that he plays. Let's get you your Caps power play. Pretty simple. Washington's lost three in a row, just 1 point in those three games. They've got to get a win. They've got 82 points on the season, three up on the Penguins, who are hard charging. They can help themselves get into the playoffs and all but ruin the Penguins' chances of getting in with a regulation win tonight.
This would be the double whammy that we talked about, right? You bury the Penguins and help yourself, and they need to. They've lost three straight. They've managed an overtime point against Boston, but they need this one to get right and to help themselves in the standings.
That's your Caps power play. Sorry, big voice guy.
Sorry,
if
buddy.
You guys get the chance tonight, check your boy out. Monumental Sports Network.
Let's go.
The Deuce, if you will. We've got our first ever inaugural, first time a regional sports team has ever done this, a big Monumental Altcast. Enjoy the evening.
Thank you for coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.